I tell you what, God is good. I can't hear you say it, but I hope that you say it all the time in your homes. I said, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. He is good. He is faithful. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness to your children, to the children. How many of you believe that? How many of you know that God is good all the time and his faithfulness has no end? It is all enduring. He is always with us. Even in the midst of trials, in the midst of every circumstance or situation of our lives. I'm going to scoot this over. There we go. It's a good thing it's not too heavy. Even in the midst of every struggle, every trial, every circumstance of our lives, we can trust. We can trust that God is with us, that he is for us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? I want to talk to us today as we continue the series or the emphasis that we began this last Sunday. Pastor Sanford did an excellent job of giving an outline and an overview of what the church is and how it was established by God. But this Sunday, I want to continue in that. And we are going to be talking with regard to this series, 24/7 Church, the 24/7 Church. And the title today is Stronger Together. Stronger Together. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" It is not good for man to be alone. You can see that God was establishing a principle that there was supposed to be a family. And then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, then in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and govern it.'" Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and govern it. God's original order of government was the family unit. That was his original design. God started by creating man and woman in his image. That is to say that he replicated himself by creating mankind. And then he commissioned them to govern by means of multiplication. I want you to hear that again. He commissioned Adam and Eve to govern by means of multiplication. Let's look at those four things that he said again. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and govern it. Now, there is so much to unpack here, and we're not going to be able to unpack it all today. But I want us to keep those four things in mind. God's process for the eradication of evil and the establishment and expansion of his kingdom was governance through multiplication. Governance through multiplication. He established these four laws as the means of implementation by which mankind was to fulfill their commission. God knew that the only way for them to successfully fill their commission was for them to be extensions of his majesty, his kingdom. That is to say that they would need to maintain themselves as an accurate reflection of him and his authority. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it's recorded, it says, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. God was with them. God was communing with them. Every day, they would have time in God's presence. There was this threefold cord. It was God, Adam, and Eve. They were together, and they were unstoppable. God knew that the way for mankind to accurately reflect him was for them to be in constant communion with him. They had to know him fully in order to accurately represent him on earth. They had to represent him and his dominion with authenticity. For all intents and purposes, they were ambassadors of the kingdom of God. They were God's embassy here on earth. Now, in order for us to fully understand this, we need to review the backstory. So we're going to take a dive in, and we're going to dip back before the book of Genesis. You say, well, how is that possible? It's recorded in different places. Let's take a look. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And the King James Version says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the naked nations? And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Somewhere between the creation of the earth and the creation of mankind, there was an uprising. Something happened before the creation of mankind. There was a war. There was an uprising in heaven. Lucifer, the director of all of the heavenly hosts who worshiped before the throne of God, sought to exalt himself to the throne of God. He was successful in convincing a third of the angels to join him against God. I want you to think about that for a minute. He was successful in convincing a third of the angels to join him against God. Because of the pride and rebellion in his heart, he and his followers were cast out of heaven. And so Satan set up his kingdom on earth, where he sought to wage war against God. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, we see this emphasized as a reality when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. It says, and again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And then Jesus made this statement in John chapter 12, verse 31. He said, now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince or ruler of this world be cast out. Why were one of the temptations of Christ for him to bow and worship Satan? Because the mandate that Jesus had was the same as the mandate that Adam and Eve were given in the garden. He was sent to establish God's kingdom on earth and to govern or rule through multiplication. Satan sought to get Jesus to join his side. I want you to think about that. He was trying to recruit him. Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He knew that Jesus had come to establish God's kingdom. And yet here he is, and he is standing before Jesus. And he's saying, take a look at everything that is mine. Take a look at what belongs to me. You want it? I'll give it to you. It's all yours. Just worship me. Just worship me. Satan still was trying to take the place of God. Satan still wanted to have God bow before him. So we see that before mankind came into existence, there was a fallout. Mutiny began to stir within the kingdom of heaven. Lucifer, as a created being, thought of himself deserving of the place of the Creator. He wanted to be worshipped in place of God. And because of his pride and arrogance, he and his followers were cast out of heaven. Then we fast forward to creation. Here is this special universe that was created as the perfect habitat for mankind. God chose to create the weakest of spirit beings, the weakest of spirit beings, and place upon them the greatest of responsibilities. They were to bear his image, to carry the full weight of his authority. Humanity was called to reflect God's glory. Yet as the weakest of beings, they were given a power that none of the others possessed. They were given the power to govern. They were given the power to govern. Do you understand that God chose us? God chose us to eradicate the most powerful archangel in all of creation. That's just mind-blowing to me. I can't wrap my head around that. God knew that we couldn't do it alone. That is why he placed his glory upon us. We were called to establish his kingdom by reproducing his image exponentially through multiplication. When Adam and Eve became tarnished with the knowledge of evil, their hearts were captivated by fear, and they were unable to complete the mission. Now, I want us to fast forward 4,000 years. Jesus comes and defeats Satan through his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. He redeems us to himself, gives us new life, and restores us to the image of the Father by placing his Holy Spirit within us. Then he recommissions us to fulfill the first mandate. Think about it, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Be fruitful. Multiply, fill the earth, and govern it. We're about to go through a host of scriptures, so I hope you're ready. Are y'all ready? John chapter 15, verse 5 in the NIV. We're focusing on being fruitful. Listen to what Jesus says. "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Still thinking about fruitfulness, right? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we see here two scriptures, and there are so many, but I'm just picking two. It would take us a number of years if we were to go through and just highlight every single scripture that backed up the points that I'm making this morning. But I just want us to understand the truth behind these statements, that God has given us these four things: to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to govern it. And I'm showing you how. So we've seen fruitfulness. Now let's look at multiplication. First of all, we go straight to the commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. And then we can go to Mark chapter 4, verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. That is talking about the harvest. That is talking about sowing the seed of the Word of God and it producing a harvest. Multiplication, multiplying. And then fill the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to what? The ends of the earth. Say it with me. To the ends of the earth. Fill the earth. Psalm 72, verse 19. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You and I are carriers of the glory of God. If the psalmist David, King David, was writing and saying, may the whole earth be filled with his glory, he's saying, may the whole earth be filled with people who are carrying the glory of God. Fill the earth. And the final thing is govern. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. Jesus is sending forth his disciples, and this is what he speaks to them. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Then he says this: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are you getting it? Are you beginning to see that God has called us, these four laws he's placed as the way that we are to govern? He's called you, he's called me to govern, to rule. He's given us authority to do so. God created this universe and placed Adam and Eve here on earth to rule and to expand his kingdom, eradicating evil. They could not complete the mandate. Satan trapped them, and they became captive to his kingdom. But Jesus came and defeated Satan, reestablishing God's kingdom on earth. And then he left with a final commission to us. Now, we know the end of the story. In the book of Revelation, I have here 15:11. Someone told me it's 11:15. I don't know how that got messed up in my notes. 11:15, there we go. Book of Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the end of the story. The end of the story is that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the end of the story. But what about us? What about right now? Let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. It says, but our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sin, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. The end of the story is that we win. But Jesus is waiting for the forces of darkness to be completely brought under authority. By whom? By his Father working in us. We need to understand that we have been placed here on this earth for a purpose, and we have been given a mandate. Our mandate is to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to set at liberty those who are held in captivity. We are called to bring sight to the blind. We are called to go to the ends of the earth and carry God's glory, driving back the forces of darkness and establishing God's kingdom in the hearts and lives of every nation and tribe and tongue. You need to believe that. We are called to rule and reign with Christ. We are called to make disciples. We are called to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, and to govern it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18b, it says this. Jesus says, and upon this rock, say this with me, and upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. The gates of hell cannot prevail against me. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. That means that we are making the charge on the forces of darkness, on the kingdoms of this world, and we are bringing about a freedom, a victory, to the people of God, to God's chosen people, because we are called to go forth. Say we are stronger. Say it, we are stronger together. We are stronger together because together we are the church. No weapon. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. All who rise against you shall fall. If God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How many of you believe that today? Come on and give him glory in the house. Give him glory in your home. Come on, begin to praise his name. He alone is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. We've got to get excited and realize that we have been given authority We have been given a power to drive the forces of darkness back. We do not have to sit around. We do not have to mope around. We are not ones who are being chased by the enemy and driven by the enemy. We are called to be the ones who will stand up and who will take the charge and say, no more will you be allowed to take and wreak havoc upon my home, upon my children, upon my marriage, upon my family. No longer will you be able to come and drive things and cause things to have chaos in my life. I declare in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that you are defeated by the cross. You have been defeated. Your head is crushed by Jesus, and I am a child of God, and I choose to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. I will no longer be held down. I will no longer be pushed back. I choose to stand up and say, I am going forward. I am pushing forward. I am the one that is going as the church of Jesus Christ to crush the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to read this together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. And if you still have doubts in your mind as to whether or not you are called to drive back the forces of darkness, I want you to listen to this scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. God has given us a mandate. But we need God, and we need each other. There is no way that we can live a life of victory on our own. God gave the church the power. It is when we are together that we are strong. It is when God is with us that we are strong. Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. It says, where any two of you agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Bible says that his throne is established upon the praises of his people. When we stand together, when we come together, there is power. There is authority. I want you to know that for some, one of the hardest things that you have to go through is being isolated, being separated from the people that you love, from your church family. But I want you to know that even though we may be apart, we're not alone. Because when God is with us, he unites us in faith and in power. Sometimes it's as simple as picking up the phone and calling someone. Sometimes it's as simple as turning to your husband or your wife, which at times could be the source of your frustration, and recognizing that we are part of the same family, and letting go of the things that hold us apart and separate us. Remember that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that seeks to steal, to kill, and destroy. He seeks to divide us. But I want to let you know that during this time, whenever we feel separated, we can still be united. We can still be united under the banner of God's love. We can still be empowered by His presence. No weapon formed against us will prosper. All of those who rise against us will fall. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, again, we're reading this scripture. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, it says, "Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says. And He has invited you," listen to this, "and He has invited you into partnership." I just can't wrap my brain around that statement. He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you tired of getting beat up? Are you tired of getting knocked down? Are you tired of the battle, of the struggle? Are you ready to turn to Jesus? Are you ready to embrace His power, His forgiveness, His love? Are you ready to see your heart united with Him and to allow Him to unite you with His body, with the church? There are so many times when I think about the people that I have known in my life, and I still do, that have been hurt by others, that have been driven apart by an offense, turned away from God because of a person, or who have stopped coming and stopped being a part of the church, the family, because of an offense that was taken. I want you to know that Jesus is here to heal. He's here to heal your broken heart. He's here to mend those wounds. He wants to restore your life. But you have to let Him do it. You have to choose to forgive. You have to remember that we're all human. We are all going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. At some point, I will let you down. It's just a fact of life. It's just the reality. We all let each other down. And yet we're still stronger together. We are called to be together. We are called to fight the forces of darkness together. We are called to stand, and to establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. He is the one that takes our lives and multiplies it. He is the one that takes us and uses us for his honor and for his glory. But we must choose to trust him. And we must choose to let him unite us as his church. If you don't know Jesus, that's the first step. He wants you to know that he loves you. You don't have to live life alone. You don't have to do life alone anymore. If you will give your life to Jesus, he will set you free and give you hope. He will fill you with his peace and his love. He will give you the power that you need to stand strong and conquer. You don't have to live in defeat. If you would like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, would you just raise your hand right now, right where you are? If you're watching on your phone or on a device, there is a way for you to do that, and let us know that you are making that decision right now. I want to pray with you. Would you just bow your head, close your eyes, and say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I give my life to you. I confess that I need you. Please forgive me of my sins and make me whole. I surrender my weakness and embrace your strength. Thank you that you are giving me the power to live free. Thank you that I am now your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, I want you to know that God is welcoming you right now into his family. The Bible says that all of heaven is celebrating every time that there is a new person, another person that embraces the love of the Father. And he is taking us, and he is uniting us. Now let me pray for those who are struggling to trust and believe that God has given you the power to reign. I want to pray for those who have been hurt by people and are afraid to embrace their church family. I want to pray for those who are struggling with addiction and who feel trapped and defeated. I want God to increase, this is my prayer, may God increase your faith and give you hope. Would you just bow your heads right now where you are and allow me to pray with you? Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person within the sound of my voice that you would go and that you would begin to touch, that you would begin to stir their hearts and help them to have faith to believe that you have given us power to rule and to reign. We no longer have to be defeated. We no longer have to walk around in fear. You have called your church to be the driving force that goes across this world and multiplies, making disciples, preaching the good news, setting the captive free. Lord, you have called us to live free. You've called us to be examples of your love. You've called us, oh God, to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to establish your kingdom here on this earth, that the forces of darkness would be destroyed and driven back so that you can return and rule and reign once again forever and ever, that your kingdom would be established and of your kingdom that there would be no end. So we pray, oh God, that you would use us, give us the faith to believe, and use us, oh God, to proclaim, may your kingdom come, and may your will, be done on this earth, even as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth, even as it is in heaven. Take us, Lord, take our hearts, take our lives, and use them as together we stand strong, proclaiming the truth of your love and allowing you to use us to establish your kingdom. May we be ambassadors. May we be your church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in our homes, in our places of business, in our schools, wherever we may be. Teach us to be the church. Teach us to be your church, and help us to believe that you've given us the power and the authority to rule and to reign. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you so much. We are so blessed to have you as part of our family. We look forward to being able to gather in this place soon. I want to tell you personally, thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for the cards and the phone calls. Thank you so much for letting us know that you're praying with us. We continue to pray and believe God with you. There are multiple ways that you can connect with us. Go to our website, go to the different social media places, or you can just pick up the phone and call us and let us know that you're okay. And let us continue to agree and believe God that he's changing hearts, that he's touching lives, and that he's using us to establish his kingdom here on this earth. Be blessed, have a wonderful week, and we will see you again very soon. Peace be with you.